We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast, brought to you by So Rare. Are you looking for NFTs? One and evaluate utility. Try So Rare, the largest NFT-based fantasy game. You can collect, trade, and compete with officially licensed digital cards, soccer players from over 180 clubs on So Rare. That is SORARE.com. I am Adam Zadroik, soccer editor at RotoWire, joined by Jordan Cooper and Ryan Belongi to talk about Saturday's Premier League play at DraftKings. All right, so I think I'm obligated to say here, Jordan, that this is your favorite kind of slate, this four-game slate that we have ahead of us, right?
Yeah, we don't have, like, any of the big teams on it. Most of the games are fairly close. I mean, the biggest favorite on the slate is Everton, but they're at home, and they're minus 154 currently. Crystal Palace, minus 110. Leeds plus 140, Southampton minus 105. I mean, all home favorites, but nothing that stands out that where, you know, you got to jam in all the Man City, or do we play Mohamed Salah, or what do we do with Chelsea? You know, those types of questions. And I think that the pricing overall on the slate is, I mean, there are some players that are expensive, but I think overall, Ryan, would you agree that, like, the pricing seems soft? It seems like I could play a lot of different types of lineups that all look good. So I think for cash games, I mean, we may see more like 4v4s possibly. And then in GPPs, I think you could go a lot of different ways. I think the diversity of lineups on this slate is going to be quite high for a four gamer.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not sure. Other than Everton, I'm not sure really where people are going to go. I was wondering who you think's going to be popular. I assume, you know, Everton is where, like, most people will go, but not like we see on most slates, like you said, with City or Liverpool or whoever. And yeah, the pricing, you know, with the exception of a few of these guys at the top, it's pretty soft. You can kind of do whatever you want. I was having trouble, like, coming up with a build. Just, I guess, a construction for cash games, because like you said, there could be 4v4s, you know, pay up at forward, pay down. I don't know. I'm anxious to hear what you have to say about cash construction.
I think I disagree with you.
Okay. I was going to say,
I think Everton is going to be one of the least popular teams.
Really?
I think. It's obviously we're dealing with eight teams only. Right. I think the most popular teams are going to be, I think the most popular game is going to be Southampton Burnley. I think after that, like, if we just go from a game by game, as like what's the chalk based on constructions that you can make? I think the Southampton Burnley game is clearly, from a projection and standpoint and a salary perspective, the most amount of well-projected players for their price are in that game. Then the two least popular overall games are going to be Leeds Wolves, I think Rafinha is going to be the most owned player in that game by far. And then everything kind of drops off. I think the Wolves side, you may get some on Jimenez, but for the most part, I don't see many of the other Leeds players being that highly owned. I don't see many of the other Wolves players being highly owned. Then we go to Crystal Palace, Newcastle. I think you'll get some ownership on Matt Ritchie on the Newcastle side. You may get some a little bit on like Luka Milivojevic or something on the Crystal Palace side, maybe Zaha if he plays. But overall, I don't think like the game stacky type of thing from that game is going to be popular. And then on the Everton side, this is where the most expensive players are, but Townsend, Gray, Rondon at a cheap price at 5,300. Lucas Digne, even though like, is he worth 6,200? He's still a fine play, but not a lock and load play. I see Everton getting ownership, but their ownership has to come down because Townsend's 10.5. Richarlison's back probably 7,500. Gray is up at 8,200. And their prices are commensurate with like a minus 250 type of favorite. They're like, yeah, Everton's the biggest favorite on the slate, but like being a home minus 150 favorite is not like, it's not like I got to jam four Everton players in. So I think based on lineup construction, once you start plugging in like a Rafinha and a Richie, it kind of takes you away from playing multiple Everton pieces. So I actually think for GPPs, people may stack Everton, but I think Everton's ownership is gonna be in check just due to the prices. What, Ryan, with the way that Everton's set piece taking has been kind of split out, what do you think the ownership of Townsend's gonna be at 10.5 in the forward spot?
Yeah, not much, especially, you know, assuming Richarlison starts. I assume Richarlison's gonna start. Yeah, I think people will play Rafinha over Townsend, and I think people will play Richarlison over Townsend in the Everton game. Just one thing, I think, you know, I agree with you what you said about the Southampton-Burnley game. From a projection standpoint, that game looks the best. I think you might be just, like, giving a bit too much credit to I don't know, the tournament lobby as a whole. People, I think, click on goalkeeper and see Pickford and Everton at the top. Everton, as even though it's not a huge favorite, I think people, that's the first place they want to look still. But yeah, no, back to your point about Townsend, I don't know. So people still like to roster Townsend, it seems like, but yeah, I don't think he's going to be as popular as the other guys. What do you guys think?
Well, I think just from a positional eligibility, like we have other forwards to play. I mean, like cash game wise, even like I'm not struggling to fill my forward spot. And then in GPPs, we have guys that are underpriced for their goal scoring odds that you could find cheap goals. So like, I think the popular construction for cash games is to pay up twice at forward. And it's quite possible that you're using a forward eligible player in your midfield spot also. I think that basically in the forward spots for cash games, you're playing two of Rafinha, Redmond, McNeil. Mm-hmm. And it's quite possible you're playing all three of them. And I think to rank them out of all of them, I would rank Redmond 1, Rafinha 2, McNeil 3. I mean, James Ward-Prowse is out if everyone doesn't realize. He's on a three-match ban. Redmond obviously got a big price hike, but he was on a monopoly of set pieces for Southampton. They're playing at home against Burnley, which is a team that tends to play more defensively as it is. So you have to expect Southampton to have 60-plus percent possession. Redmond is also not a central midfielder. He's also an attacking wide player. So, like, his open play value is worth it. He may get four shots, three chances created. We saw it in the last game. You combine that with a set piece monopoly. Like, I almost feel that Redmond, it's weird for me to say, Redmond should be Townsend's price.
Yeah. Crazy to think. Yeah. We were struggling with the Redmond decision a bit last week. And now he's $3,300 more and he seems underpriced. Yeah. I'd agree with you with a monopoly of set pieces. At 8,000, I think he's the first player, you know, in cash lineups for sure, and has plenty of upside for GPPs, you know, playing forward. So what, Adam, you said you thought the cash game construction was kind of easy. I mean, I have like, maybe I'd say,
I think just in terms of like, you know, the set piece takers, like Jordan was running through the list. Like, it's just like, you can fill in all the set piece takers. Like, you got to think all these guys are going to get to, you know, their 8 to 10 point mark, and then Rafinha will get to whatever 10 to 12 point mark, and Redmond will get there too. Having you mentioned Westwood, cheaper version of McNeil. Like, I don't think he's his floor is that much less than McNeil's. Like, you just got, you have all these options to go to. You can just, I don't know. It seems just like illogical to just put all these set piece takers in, you know, hope they get to their marks and take the cash. Or, I mean, I don't think everyone is smart enough to do that, but for the most part, in these double ups, like I think that lineup construction will be enough, really.
But I think for cash games, the 3v3, 4v4 is going to be stuff like the second defenseman, the goalkeeper, and the like the punt level midfielder. Mm-hmm. Like, that's going to be the 3v3. And then whether or not you're going to play McNeil in a midfield spot rather than like a Westwood or like a mid-price guy, depending if you go up at the second defender spot or down at the second defender spot. So yeah, I think that the construction is straightforward, but we got guys in those ranges that you could go slightly differently up and down at goalkeeper. You probably got at Matt Ritchie's in the first defender slot, but do you go up to Dean? How about the Southampton fullbacks? How about punting with a center back? I mean, that's still an option. I mean, we got Danny Rose there. We got a lot of guys that you could play in that second defender spot. And then if you're going to punt at midfield with like a $3,500 to $4,200 guy, there are multiple guys in that range that are viable. And then also, if you're going to pull off, like you're going to say, I'm going to go for upside. There are guys in the $3,500 to $4,200, $4,500 range at forward that have upside, that if you want to just take, you get no floor there, but if you want to take goal upside, you got it there. So I think, we'll start mentioning, you know, guys, when we go position by position, but from a GPP perspective, we're kind of going between cash and GPP back and forth. We kind of mentioned kind of all the cash plays, by the way. I mean, like there's not much more to go over. It's weird for me to say this. With the way that Leeds have been playing without Calvin Phillips, they're not playing very well. Do you think, based on who else is in these price ranges, Raul Jimenez is the one with the highest goal-scoring odds on the slate? He's plus 130. Now, he's 7,300. That's much different than, like, Salomon Rondon, who's 5,300 with plus 140 odds. But I think with the fact that we got Rafinha, we got Redmond, we got McNeil, we got Rondon, we got Richarlison. I mean, what's going to be the ownership on like a two-man of like Traore or Hee Chan plus Jimenez in this price range? And Wolves, you know, spoil. I mean, it's an away game, and Wolves don't tend to be, you know, the most aggressive. But from a large field GPP perspective, I always like looking at, as long as I'm not paying like through the nose, like, can I find a two-man combination of goals, assists in the front line that could be double, single-digit owned on a four-game slate? You wouldn't never be shocked if Raul Jimenez had a brace. You wouldn't be shocked if Traore had 12 floor points from crosses and fouls drawn and then an assist and gets to 20. Like, other than price, because it's kind of soft on this slate, do you think these Wolves guys go under-owned for their upside while acknowledging that, you know, they're obviously not like the best plays on the slate?
Yes. Yeah, I do think they go under-owned. I hope so. I've definitely got my eye on them too. And, you know, you say they're not the best, you know, the plays on this slate, but who is? You know, we really don't, other than, you know, maybe Everton and probably Southampton, all these games are the same. They all have 2.5 totals. And Jimenez is 7,300 seems kind of cheap. Like, I mean, it's soft. It's easy to afford for Traore too. His price went way down too. Yeah. And I think, like you said too, Leeds have just been playing bad, without Calvin Phillips, and they were without Rafinha last game. So that should get a little better, but it might not make them much better at keeping the ball or defending. So yeah, I really like Wolves, and I think they'll go under-owned as well. Back to cash real quick.
We didn't mention Sarr, if we're talking going back to cash here.
I don't think a Sarr is a cash play on the slate at 8,100. I mean, when you have Redmond and Rafinha there already, like why are you paying 8,100 for Sarr? And then if you're gonna play three forwards and use a midfield forward in your midfield spot or utility spot, why wouldn't you be playing Damari Gray or Dwight McNeil in that spot instead of Watford's the biggest underdog on the slate. Yeah, they're not a ridiculous underdog, but I think Sarr is completely viable for GPP. But I would not trust an away Watford team as the biggest underdog out of eight teams when I could just take the majority set piece taker from the opposing side for the same price.
I will say that So Everton, they're going to be out with Doucouré in their central midfield. And, I mean, I don't know. That's not going to mean a ton, but just worth noting because, you know, he's played almost every minute, or maybe he has played every minute for him this season in the midfield. It might be Tom Davies or someone else in there. And then I guess another thing is Watford. So they've had a full week of training under Claudio Ranieri. Previously, you know, they had, I don't know, some of those guys returning from international duty. They lost that match to Liverpool. They were with the team for a couple of days. So I think that will help Watford. I mean, this is just, you know, talking about the game. It's not really about making sense for cash lineups, but just a couple of notes there for that matchup.
Yeah, no, those are good points, though, because the line did get a little closer, and it was like a little bit closer than I expected, I thought. So yeah, that's probably why. For cash, like Redmond, Rafinha, and McNeil, I think are locks basically. Like McNeil, you feel like shouldn't be, or he's only 1,400 more than Westwood, and that's just a bit too close. Like McNeil has more upside and even a bigger floor. My question is, who is the fourth best cash play? I mean, from an outfield, who's your fourth guy in your outfield spots? Not counting defender.
Well, it depends on if you're going up or down. Like, I don't think McNeil is, you have to play him in a midfield spot or anything. I think you could, I think I'm with Adam. I think Westwood, take a look at his log. I mean, he gets the 10 points and he takes more of the set pieces than McNeil does. Yeah. McNeil has higher ceiling, but I don't mind that. And you have Milivojevic. Crystal Palace are favored in this match. Milivojevic is on penalties. I mean, Milivojevic has goal scoring odds of +300, which is better than like anyone else in that price range for midfield. I mean, of course, you're kind of looking for a bailout there. But, you know, okay. 4,800 for a set piece taker for a favored team. Like, I don't mind that. I think there are a bunch of options in like the really cheap range.
Mm-hmm.
So like cleverly at 3,500, I'm not scared of playing a Watford set piece taker. The only thing I'm scared about with cleverly is that if they're not doing well, he comes off. Like he's come off at the half like twice already. And what else do you need at 3,500 that even if that happens, it doesn't matter. But I almost feel like I'd rather take shots on like, if I'm going to play someone in that range, take a shot on like Musa Gineppo at 3,300. Cause like I could get bailed out by him. Now he's probably not going to play 90 either, but him playing 75, I almost would prefer. And this, you could say the same for Maxwell Cornet at 4,700. If he's back and he's in the starting lineup, he's Dwight McNeil on the other side of the field. It's just that I'm not a big fan of, you know, targeting so much of the Burnley offense. But he's in play, but he's most likely not going to play. Coming back from injury, he's not going to play 90, I can't think. And then we got guys, whether or not you paid up or down at midfield. I mean, up and down at defense. You got obviously Matinho or Neves, 40, 4,900, 5,300. They're meh. They're like, I almost rather play a defender in that range than play them. But the defenders on this slate, I mean, I think you could play a three defender lineup. And you got Richie. You could pay up for Dean. I still think his floor is high, even though in Rafa's offense, maybe without DeCorey, maybe they play with three center backs. If I see them playing with three center backs and Dean is playing wide, and maybe Townsend is playing kind of as a wing back, it's like, let me load in Lucas Dean, even if he doesn't have many set piece opportunities. But I like the Southampton fullbacks. It's quite possible that Eric Peters starts for Charlie Taylor, and he's in the 3K range. I think the Burnley fullbacks are fine. I think you're filling out your lineups with something like this. I still think Damari Gray, to me, how much is a priority for you? I'm playing, if you had a choice and you had the money between playing McNeil or Damari Gray, would you consider Damari Gray a priority? Like, let's say you're playing McNeil at 7,000 and like a Danny Rose, like a $4,200 fullback. Would you rather play Damari Gray? Let's say you have McNeil at 7,000 and you have like Livramento or Perot in your defender spot, or Dean even in your defender spot. Would you rather play Damari Gray and then go down to like a Danny Rose or like a 4K defender? Like, to me, these are the types of 3v3, because then you move your goalkeeper and there you go. I think that's what's going to make up cash. I think we're going to see Rafinha and Redmond. If you play the $100 like single entry 11 man double up, mm-hmm. I think it's quite possible that Rafinha and Redmond are like 100% owned out of 11 people in that contest.
Yeah.
So really it comes down to the other positions.
Okay. So about the Damari Gray thing, I think McNeil's underpriced in general. So I wouldn't want to get up to Damari Gray. Like, I get it, but he's only better because the matchup's slightly better. He took, you know, five sets last week, the majority of them for the first time. It's tough to count on that, but yeah, he probably has some. Just a few other things. I couldn't be comfortable playing Tom Cleverley. I mean, he getting subbed 45 minutes both of the last two games.
He came off the bench last game, actually, because they were playing so bad.
Okay. So,
and also, I believe he came off the game before because of a concussion.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, fair enough. But still,
I'm with you. Like I said, so, I'm not comfortable playing Tom Cleverley as the biggest underdog on the slate versus playing a guy like Gineppo or playing some – or punting – with playing a center back in my defender spot, so I don't have to play someone down in that range. Like, I'm with you. Like, I look at Cleverley as, I hope he gets me 6 points and I'm able to get points in other spots in my roster. Yet, like, I think there are other players in that you could play even at forward that you play in that range that it's like, okay, he could luck into 15 points.
Yeah. I'm absolutely on board with Gineppo. That's what I would do. Just because I don't think you're missing out on anything else like down here, like Milivojevic, for instance. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think he has penalty kicks anymore. Those goal scoring odds seem weird to me. I'm pretty sure
Zaha took the last one. That's right.
When they're both on the field, even. And Milivojevic, yeah, like favorited set piece taker against Newcastle. He's played more than 72 minutes once this season. He has no value besides crosses. So yeah, it's fine. But like 4,800 is not like dirt cheap for that. Like, I feel like it'd be, you know, you're lucky to get 8 points out of Milivojevic. Obviously that'd be enough, but I don't think that's guaranteed. So like all this would lead me to play Gineppo, and it would lead me to pay up for Dean at the second defender, especially if I'm just going to play like McNeil over Damari Gray. I mean, these are all close enough decisions where I think you should just play the cheaper guys. Yeah, of course, you can play Westwood too. Like you guys said, I agree with you about Westwood. I think he's like fine for cash. I mean, you kind of like having a little upside in there, which is why I would try to get to McNeil.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
How about, Ryan, we kind of buried the lead because we keep on mentioning these cheap forwards. Chris Wood and Ashley Barnes for Burnley are like in the basement. Chris Wood has plus 185 goal scoring odds. Ashley Barnes is plus 230, assuming he starts. Chris Wood is 4,500. Ashley Barnes is 3,600. And then we have Solomon Rondon. We're sitting there at plus 140 for Everton on the biggest favorite at 5,300. Who says that these guys can't be cash plays? Like, if you're thinking about, but think in terms of, would you rather play Ashley Barnes is 3,600. Would you rather play Tom Cleverley and hope to get 6 points, or Ashley Barnes, who could score a goal?
Chris Wood
at 4,500. Would you rather play Milivojevic or play Chris Wood? Would you rather play, like, let's say one of the Southampton fullbacks, like Livramento or Perot, or would you rather play Solomon Rondon? Like, what is the are you building your lineup? Now, obviously, in GPP, these are upside guys. These are guys that are more likely to score goals, but they have much lower floors. But if you're playing a lineup that's like too floor oriented, like you have no opportunities to kind of like get bailed out by one poor performer, that is it worth? Like Ryan, you're saying about Milivojevic, may not play 90, plays in the center of the park, is very reliant on tackles won and set piece opportunities. If the set piece opportunities come, then yeah, 4,800 is worth it. But if he comes out at 60 minutes and he's sitting there with 4 points because they only got 3 corner kicks, like for 500 more and you just bump down your goalkeeper, you get Solomon Rondon, who's plus 140 to score. And Solomon Rondon could end up with 4 or 5 points just on shots and fouls, you know, just doing stuff a little bit. But Solomon Rondon could also score 30 points on this slate. Like Milivojevic doesn't really have that at the upper range of his outcomes. So like, I'm not condoning that's what I'm going to be doing in cash games. But like the point stands is that we don't, just because we're aiming for a median result doesn't mean that we need to like have the median result in all spots in our lineup, that it's a combination of floor and ceiling. And I'm only saying this because I played Raheem Sterling last week and he burned me, right? Because why did he have to start last week? If he didn't start last week, I would have the nuts in cash. But I'm like, I got to get more Man City in. But that's kind of the thinking. And the lower the salary it goes, the more that they don't have to do much. I mean, we saw this past the Champions League slate with Arturo Vidal. We saw it with Jorginho. Like those guys that you look at and you go, these guys have like 1.5 point floors. Like they don't do anything, but they could score a goal, but there could be a penalty. And all that has to happen is that happens and it bails out. If it doesn't happen and you have 2 or 3 points there, you could still win, right? You could still win. But let's say one of your other guys, you know, Timo Werner, you're playing him in cash, Lukaku, right? They come off. I lost the cash lineups that had both Lukaku and Werner in it because they're sitting there with Jorginho also. And it's like, well, they got bailed out. And to me, that's not luck. That's an actual strategy. So I don't want to poo-poo playing these cheaper forward guys in place of that Gineppo type or that 4K defender type or the 5K midfielder type. And I think Ryan, even though you're more GPP focused, that's obviously, you're not looking at guys like Luka and Cleverley and GPP. Like, I know that. for sure. Yeah. But for cash, like I don't think playing all of them together. Yeah, I think you're screwing up by playing too many of those types of guys. But by playing one of them, I don't think that's stupid.
No. So just like, yeah, I couldn't agree with you more strongly. I think everything you said is like one of the sharpest points, like one of the sharpest points made on this podcast in a long time. I absolutely agree. Those when the prices are 4,500 and 3,600, I mean, absolutely. Like, I don't have anything to add to what you said. Like, it all makes perfect sense. And that's exactly what I do. Like, when you're paying that cheap for the upside to bail out your whole lineup, it just makes so much sense, because 2 or 3 or 4 points isn't going to lose you cash out of those guys most weeks, but you have the chance to win. Yeah, I mean, it just makes so much sense. Solomon Rondon, that's the one I guess I'd push back on a little.
You have something against Rondon with higher goal scoring odds than with Wood and Barnes playing for Burnley away?
Yeah,
wait, where's Rodrigo at?
It's the price for one, but you could say, yeah, okay, if you can afford it, whatever, it's the same thing, but.
Yeah, Adam has a good question for you. Rodrigo.
Oh, there he is.
+260. What happened to that guy? I played him last time. He didn't work out that well.
Yeah, so I couldn't have been more wrong about that one. but it was due to Leeds being awful. I didn't expect, you know, we mentioned that Leeds might struggle without Calvin Phillips, but that was their worst game of the season. I checked at one point in the second half and it was 15 shots to one. From a Southampton team that didn't have Ward-Prowse. So, I mean, I would say it was more Leeds' fault and less Rodrigo's fault. But, yeah, still, I was pretty wrong about that one.
Do you think the lowest-owned forwards on the slate are going to be, because we're thinking from a GPP perspective now, how many people are going to play Hudson Edouard at 7,600 for Crystal Palace? And Callum Wilson on the other side of the game for 8,400. Like, 8,400 as an away dog sounds quite rich for Callum Wilson. I'm a big fan of playing Wilson when he's unowned, when he's 6,400. But did someone just screw up at DraftKings to make him that expensive?
He scores every game.
He does?
Probably. I mean, he's always hurt, but he scores whenever he's on the field.
Yeah, so I agree. That's the game. Those forwards will be the lowest owned. So
three goals, four matches.
Yeah.
You got to play. You pair him up with Richie. Nothing could go wrong, right?
Yeah. I think it makes a lot of sense, though, in games where, like, yeah, the total's the same in basically all these games. So a brace from any of those Crystal Palace forwards or Wilson is just, I mean, you can win tournaments with that, with multiple mistakes in the rest of your lineup. So I love playing these forwards that aren't going to be owned, because it's the easiest way to win a tournament. Even though, I mean, it might happen the least amount of times that one of them scores a brace, but in this scenario specifically, Crystal Palace are, you know, decent favorites. We're not used to seeing Crystal Palace as a minus favorite, at least. And the forwards aren't going to be owned, and none of them are like that expensive. Like, so I'm going to have some interest in the Crystal Palace guys.
Yeah, I actually don't really agree with the odds in this one. Like, neither Crystal Palace nor Newcastle actually play much defense. So I'm kind of surprised, like, that implied goal total isn't closer to, I don't know, 2.8, 2.9, just because they can't play defense. And I mean, this season, Crystal Palace under Vieira, they've been a lot more attack heavy than they were last season. And like, we just saw that against Arsenal on Monday. I just think it's a good spot for goals. Like, if you want to stack that game, it's like Ryan said, it's pretty much a perfect spot right there.
Right. The goal totals for all these games are with, like, on the Roto Grinders cheat sheet. That's where I'm looking. So sign up for Roto Grinders. What did you say, Adam?
Roto Wire.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm doing so many shows. Roto Wire. Sorry. Roto Wire cheat sheet. You could sign up. RotoWire.com/soccer trial. Like, these games are all like Ryan, you're right. They're like The highest total game is Leeds Wolves 2.74. The lowest total is Everton Watford 2.58. And obviously the Watford has the lowest implied goal total, but that's 0.91. The highest is Everton 1.67. But like, we're talking, it's so marginal that like, I'm still going to go back to that Leeds Wolves game. Like, what's wrong with playing Rafinha plus two Wolves forwards? You don't play any defense. You just hope that game is a 3-2 game. Like, that's the game. And maybe you don't play Redmond in that lineup because you're probably not going to be able to, because you're already paying, you know, Rafinha, Traore, Jimenez is going to prohibit you from playing Redmond. And then you play a Burnley forward, right? Because if Redmond doesn't do good, maybe Burnley scores, it's 1-0 something. And you build it out from there. And then maybe you play Rondon in that lineup. I'm just looking in a slate where the totals are low. There's four games going on. The value of getting the one game that goes nuts goes up. Absolutely. And instead of me trying to pick and choose and say, well, I'm gonna play a combination of like Redmond and a forward, you know, Redmond Brogia, and then I'm gonna play Richie, and then I'm gonna play Ron. Like, I'm gonna try to pick out everything. Maybe you just say, like, oh, Crystal Palace, Newcastle, I'm gonna play Edouard and Callum Wilson and Milivojevic and Richie, and just like four guys from one game. And hope that's a 3-2 type of game. Even Everton Watford. You want to do Rondon, Richarlison, Dean, Saar, Dennis, you know, something like that. I think because of the softness of the pricing and the fact that we clearly know who the chalk is going to be, that, like, yeah, if Redmond puts up 14 points and Rafinha puts up 14 points, like, they're not going to make or break the slate. They're fine in cash. You got there in cash games. You got your 14 points. But we have so many people with, if there's goals on this slate, that could beat 14 points, that I don't feel like, if I'm going after these goal scorers, that I need to also find a way to jam in like Redmond or Damari Gray or Richie, even that just find the game that goes over 2.5, and you're most likely to get the pieces that get the points.
Yeah. So I agree with all that. I'll try to make a few counterpoints. We only got four games on this slate. None of them are supposed to be that great. So like, there's a pretty good chance that none of the games are worth double stacking or stacking each direction of. I would say that just like when you have the totals, like you said, hovering between 2.58 and 2.74, that they're all basically similar. So just, I'm thinking of it like every forward on the slate has an equal chance at scoring a brace. So if that's the case, what would you do? You just play the ones that are going to be the least popular. So as opposed to like stacking games, which I think you can do, because you're right, if you catch one that goes off, you're going to be golden. That's perfect for tournaments. But if that doesn't happen, it might just be better to play the top players, the few top players, Redmond, Rafinha, Richie, maybe one other guy, and then load your lineup with three or four low-owned forwards and find that brace.
But how do you fit? How do you, you don't have the salary for that.
Yeah, I mean, we just talked about how cheap all those guys are.
No, not all of them. Yes, the Burnley guys. Yes, Rondon. But I mean, not all of them. Rogia is under 6,000. So you're pairing them up with Redmond, but
okay, I mean, you're right. I'm definitely punting, you know, at midfield or defender in that scenario. Of course.
Okay, but understand my point is that, like, if you're gonna play the low owned forwards are the ones that are the quote overpriced compared to the slate. The Jimenez, the Edouard, the Callum Wilson. It's like how do you play Rafinha and Redmond in those lines?
You're right. I see what you're saying. That's my mistake. So it would be without one of those. It would be without a Rafinha. Without a Redmond. Yeah, good point.
So based off what Jordan was saying there, if we want to do that strategy of, you know, focusing on one game, do we have a favorite of one of these, you know, to pop off? Like I mentioned, Crystal Palace, Newcastle, like none of these teams are really all that consistent. So really any of them can go off, but do you guys have a favorite of, you know, one of these could go for 3-4 goals? And
well, from a price perspective, Southampton, Burnley, but only because if all the totals are the same, right? If we say everyone's a 2.5 total and everyone has an equal likelihood of going off, like the prices on Southampton, Burnley are the most appealing, but understand they're also going to be the most owned. I mean, like, it's not like Chris Wood is going to go on. Oh, I didn't realize that a guy that center forward is 4,500. I mean, he's going to be owned in those types of constructions. Rondon is not going to be sneaky. He's going to probably be 30% owned in GPPs. He's a $5,300 center forward for the biggest favorite on the slate. So I get that.
Hopefully that number is 80% actually.
What's up with the Rondon hate? Didn't Andrew give you the memo like 4 years ago? Rondon was play? Like a cash play when he played for West Brom.
Yeah,
I've seen him play, and I'm not going to use him in fantasy unless he scores 5 times in a row.
Yeah, like I'm with the Rondon hate too. Actually, he doesn't seem like he can cut it in the Premier League anymore. Like, just not good enough. But you're right. Like, anybody can, you know, score playing center forward on a favorited team. I get that. And, you know, something going in his favor, I think it helps a lot that Richarlison is back. Just the way that Richarlison plays opens up more space and gives Rondon a much greater chance at having a tap in. So I am okay with it. Back to your question, Adam.
I'm Whoa. Getting sites wrong. You're getting hosts wrong.
What the heck?
What's going on today?
The Burnley-Southampton game looks great, but I don't really see that one going off. Those two teams never go off. So Wolves-Leeds, I like, as Jordan mentioned, and I would like it especially if Calvin Phillips isn't in. I think we could see that game. Wolves have been unlucky not to score more goals this season. They've actually played... I don't know. Their XG is high, much higher than their goal total. And then I agreed with everything you said about Crystal Palace too, Adam. I think I've been really impressed with them under Vieira. It's like a completely different style team, or they play a completely different style than what they did under Hodgson and Newcastle. That's unpredictable, I guess. They just fired Steve Bruce, but like I could see goals in that game too. If you're trying to target one that's going to go off.
Wait 5 years and we're going to be playing a lot of Newcastle players.
Yes, that's a good point.
Wait 5 years where they're in the Champions League with their new
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Just going off some of these teams from what you said, Ryan. So like I mentioned it last week, so Southampton at home, they just play, I don't know, like their defense is just better for some reason. I think there's been like 4 goals in 4 home matches this season. And then you throw in Burnley, the way Burnley play. So, you know, there's a chance that one goes 3-2, but I'm not going to bet on that one. And then, you know, I think Leeds just has a general consensus that, you know, under Bielsa, they're super attacking, they're all exciting, but this season it just really hasn't been the case. They've had all these injuries and everything, and it's kind of messing up the way they play. And I mean, that's another game. Yeah, they are playing different under Bruno Lage than they have in the past, but I don't know if that's going to be enough away from home to where we get a bunch of goals. But again, I probably said the same thing about Wolves at Aston Villa last week, and that was 3-2. They came back from 2-0 down, so. I mean, I'm saying all this stuff and, you know, any of these games could be 3-2. Any of them could be 0-0 is kind of what it comes down to. And I mean, that includes Everton, Watford. Like I said, Watford another week under their new manager, and Everton, the way they play under Rafa Benitez, it's not really a possession style way of playing. So, you know, that kind of leads to some unpredictable matches, and yeah, maybe they can win 3-0, but maybe there's a chance this one's 2-2, that kind of thing. So
are really we saying, is. Yeah, no, I agree with everything you said. So are we saying basically all 4 of these games could go off, but also could not. And there's
exactly what we're saying
for either way.
Yeah. But you have to factor in price. Like I don't see myself playing the Newcastle side. I'm playing 10 GPP lineups. Okay.
You aren't looking at Miguel Almiron. I believe he's cheap. Come on.
Yeah, but Wilson's 8,400. St. Maximin is 8,600 on this slate. Like, how do you justify that?
As he's the best player on the pitch. Ball? That's why.
It's going to be one. It's going to be one of those slates. I guarantee it. That Newcastle is going to score four goals, and we're going to go like DK knew, right? They knew.
So
Wilson, Brace and ever, and it's like, oh, that's why they were Townsend puts up 34 points. DK knew. You know, it's one of those.
Okay. Sticking on that topic of DK knew, and also Jordan, I agree with you. Considering price, price is definitely the first thing I go by when constructing these GPP lineups. But these Burnley guys, 4,500, 3,600, McNeil underpriced. Does DK know that they're just going to bust?
Maybe they do. I think the for their medians, I agree with you on the fact that Burnley, that game, projects the best from a median standpoint, but I think the ceiling of that game is the lowest of the four.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so like cash game plays, like if you want to play four guys from that game in cash games, like I think you're fine, but like I prefer in GBP to play the Genepos, play the El Niasi if he's like play the guys that people aren't playing from that game if I'm going to play anyone. And then on Burnley, like, if you're going to, like, I could understand playing one of those guys as like a cheap punt play, but like not, I don't think I'm going to play lineups that are like McNeil plus Wood plus Westwood. Like, I don't see an away Burnley side putting up two or three goals.
All right. So to combat what I said earlier. So I think, is this Southampton Burnley match the only match on the slate with the same managers as last season? Yes, mm-hmm. It is. So they played actually 3-2 last season in this same situation. Southampton won 3-2. Burnley scored two goals in the first 28 minutes. Southampton finished with 24 shots. Burnley had 33 crosses.
Okay.
Basically the opposite of kind of what we were just thinking. So,
since it happened before, it has to happen again. Or is it the other way around? Since it already happened, it can't happen again. It's either hot or it's due. And I never know which one we're going with.
To be fair, it was 1-0 in the game at Burnley. So we can take that one to account too.
No, I think that's a good point to bring up though. It lets you know that it's possible. These are the same mm-hmm. two teams. It just happened. I mean, yeah, it's something to keep in mind.
Goalkeeper. Lastly, because we haven't even touched on goalkeeper, which is there a point of really touching that much on goalkeeper? I think with the spreads of these games being as close as they are, I'm not prior. Like, to me, I don't consider Pickford at 5,700 to be like, oh, you plug him in. Let me take a look at the cheat sheet. Clean sheet odds for Everton are 41%. Crystal Palace is 34, Southampton's 33, Leeds is 26, Wolves are 25. The highest win percentage is Everton at 56%. So, like, I don't necessarily think 5,700 in comparison to other goalkeepers justifies his price. If that's what your lineup looks like, then obviously he has the highest win and clean sheet odds. But it's not like these cases where you're plugging in Allison or Ederson with 78% win odds and 57% clean sheet things, and they're not, and they're 5,800 or 5,900. So I think I'm much more likely to, you know, play Ben Foster and just play the cheapest keeper, play the Watford keeper, and play, obviously don't play a keeper that you're playing guys against, like that type of thing in GPP. But I'm not really concerned about paying up at goalkeeper in cash games on this slate, because I just, the price differential between the top and the bottom shouldn't be 2,000. It should be like 1,000 at best.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. Just make sure you don't play a keeper that's going against one of your forwards or midfielders. And yeah, Pickford as the most expensive goalkeeper like never seems to work out. really, like it's you hate doing that. So yeah, I'll probably just avoid doing it. To avoid the possible tilt of him getting scored on. But yeah, any of these goalies are fine.
Yeah, I'd probably look at, if you're looking at the underdogs, like Jordan said, Foster is the clear option. Just in general, just being the cheapest. Jose Zah, kind of like him as an underdog if you have the money against Leeds and Rodrigo up front. And then I guess probably the favorite I like is McCarthy just against Burnley. You know, maybe that'll be 3-2, but maybe it'll be 1-0. Do we go over you know, we touched on Richie, but just outside of Richie, is there any defender that, you know, is a must play or is, you know, anyone that needs to be looked at for cash games or anything?
Yeah, I'm interested to hear Jordan's take, but I don't like any of the defenders below Richie. I mean, yeah, some of them are okay, but none are jumping out to me as a guy that I really want to play.
Jordan said it was a three defender slate possibly. So what are we looking
at? Maybe I'm not thinking that anymore.
Like the Southampton guys are fine. But I'm not like going out of my way to target them.
Right. I mean, I view it that way. I view it like if you're going to play Shackleton at 3,900. Okay. If you're going to play Markkanen, if he's in at 4,300. Okay. If you play Danny Rose, if you play, all these guys, what I'm saying is more like outside of Richie, I think everyone is efficiently owned that if you end up on three defender builds, like, I don't think you're giving up anything because I think they're just, you know, like if you're stuck in that spot, like I even would get punting. Like if you're like, oh, I have a good lineup. I don't want to play. I need $3,100 guy. Well, then play a center back and then play Richie and Dean with, even those constructions are fine. But I think you don't need to punt at defender if you're not going to play Pickford at goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to play like Townsend or something like I just don't think that you need to even go down here. I think the cheapest viable defender fullback wise is Peters if he starts at 3,600. But it's not like one of those situations where he's the cheapest fullback, jam him in. No, he's 3,600. It's not like he's efficiently priced. All these guys seem efficiently priced.
Oh, so, you don't think Peters will be popular if he starts?
No.
Like Charlie Taylor's 4,600. He's the regular starter. Like Peters.
Yeah, but Charlie Taylor's constantly overpriced. So like what was that supposed to mean?
I don't know. I mean, I think just 3,600 for I don't know. I guess he's not very good and he's old, but you know,
he's fine, but he wouldn't warrant being 45% owned in GPPs. Like, I mean, he's not to that extent. I mean, like Rafinha, Redmond, these guys are going to be owned because they deserve to be owned. Richie deserves to be owned. Like Peters, he's like, if he fits in your lineup and you need a 30s, if I had a choice in the utility spot between playing Peters and playing Cleverly, I probably play Cleverly and I probably I play Musa Gineppo over him. So if the fact that I'm willing to play $3,500 midfielders over a guy, that means that Peters is just there at 3,600 to fill your second defender spot. So if you don't need to fill your second
Ashley Barnes,
spot, right? Play Ashley Barnes, right? Why not do that instead?
Yeah, definitely Ashley Barnes over Peters. You know, I could. So Peters, playing on the left side, it's going to be harder for him to get crosses in than Charlie Taylor, being that Taylor's left-footed and Peter's not. Peter's just isn't very good. Like, I don't even expect him to have that big of a floor. Like, Ashley Barnes probably has the same floor as Peters.
Clean sheets, equity.
3.4 against Man City.
Yeah. I mean, of course. Like, I don't mind it. I just wouldn't call it, like, a priority. Like, all this has made me think, like I just realized just now, because I haven't been playing Dean at all, really, but I'm warming to him in this matchup and the fact that he's taken a few set pieces recently. I think it might be a slate to spend up for both those defenders. There's a very good chance that they significantly outscore the rest of the defenders on the slate. And when that happens, when you have two guys that there's a big gap between the rest of them, that's like that vaults you way up in tournaments because people just don't like to do it. So the more I'm looking at it, I really like paying up at both defender spots.
Yeah,
it depends what you feel about Dean. Like I just said, I hadn't been playing him, but if he is a good play, if
he
Dean
definitely
is
won't be popular.
Yeah, like if he's a good play, then it makes sense to play both of them. I'm not sure if he's a good play, but if he is, then it makes sense to play them both.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a bad play. I'm just he's
no,
there.
No, I
he's
don't
fine.
Either.
He's a fine play is what it comes down to. That's not going to be overowned or anything.
Like when you're comparing him to the rest of the slate, he's a defender on the biggest favorite on the slate. So like it gives him an edge over the other defenders at least. And, you know, he has upside for an assist.
All right. I think we covered it all here. You guys have anything else?
Yeah, no, right. I don't think so.
Cool.
Yeah, Jordan mentioned it briefly, but, you know, Southampton's going to be popular, but Elyounoussi is not going to be popular, and that's a good tournament play.
That's what does he really cost? 7,400?
People won't really want to pay that either. I like taking a shot on him in tournaments.
Yeah, he found a role this season. I think it was he scored 3 or 4 goals in, like, a cup match, and then he, you know, found a starting role in league play. So, you know, he's expensive on the spot, but.
And then I watched him a couple weeks ago for Norway, and he looked great, scored a couple goals. So, yeah, he's in good form.
Yeah, so there you go. Elyounoussi is the guy to target here. Rodrigo was the target last week, so hopefully Ryan will rebound there. But if you have any questions for us, you can find us on Twitter. Jordan is at BlenderHD. Ryan is at Ryan Belangi. I am at RotoIsADroik. You can also find us in the RotoWire Discord. If you're a subscriber, go to rotowire.com/chat. And as Jordan said earlier, rotowire.com/soccer trial for the free 10-day trial. No credit card required. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe to our channel. If you're listening anywhere else, please rate and review. And that should be it. Thank you to So Rare for sponsoring. And Jordan, Ryan, thank you for doing this. And actually, Ryan, do you have your head-to-head coming up, or is that settled?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll keep you guys posted. Yeah, okay. That tiebreaker for my King of the Pitch ticket was supposed to run last week. It didn't run. I didn't hear why. I guess I have a feeling that maybe my opponent wanted it to be in a showdown since that's what we tied in. But yeah, haven't heard anything yet.
It sounds like Got You Beat is walking back on trying to face him. He's just going to wait it out till like the perfect slate or something.
Yeah.
He's going to wait until he has him beat.
Yeah.
Something like that. All right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, thanks.